All right, good morning, everyone. Go ahead and get rolling. It's good to have you guys here today. Especially welcome back to Taylor. Was it 2 weeks ago that you had your surgery? 18 days ago, had her surgery. So let's just give a hand for her and just to God for healing her. It's really exciting just how God blessed in your situation and brought you back healthy and good as new, it seems like. So that's pretty cool. So we just finished up a series called Disciple the Heart, and we spent a long time on that. I think it's 11 different messages, 12 different weeks. And we went through just some different topics, just kind of in basic Christianity, of things that would be just helpful to grow in. And one of my fears is that, you know, I can go to church, even as a pastor. It's like, you can go to church, you know, week after week after week, but do you ever really grow, you know? Do you change or just kind of stay in the same spot and you just go to church to sing songs or something? And so in this series, the idea was to look at different areas that we could grow in and to think through just commitments that we might make that would really profoundly make a difference. And I really feel like if we made commitments in these areas, even just in three or four of these areas, could really profoundly affect our life. And so just super quick review, we started off talking about discipleship, just making a decision to say, I'll follow Jesus. We looked at repentance, discovering who God is and discovering his ways through his word, serving, being united with other believers and committed to a church family, enjoying God in relationship and prayer, being willing to be discipled by others, being corrected by others without huffing off with a hissy fit or something, but just receiving input from others. Being people who are givers and not just consumers and takers. Reproducing, multiplying our lives into others, impacting other people's lives. And then last time I spoke, I talked about just yielding completely to God, even at the level of our thoughts, and look specifically at the area of sexual purity. And then Dr. Parsa had a two-part series on just obedience and living with integrity. And he had some great examples and stuff in there. And so for me, I don't know, I find this kind of thing just kind of encouraging, just thinking through ways that I can grow because I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be stuck in the same spot. And so just the idea that I can grow and I can change and become a different person, that's kind of exciting to me. So I kind of have fun as we go through the series. But John kind of alluded to it earlier, you know, sometimes we can have a different take on that. And so, you know, the first week we talk about just being willing to say, I will follow you, God. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. You're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. That's kind of hard, and I'm not very good at that. And then the second week, it's like, oh, and then we need to repent. And it's like, well, I have stuff I don't want to repent of. And then the third week, oh, we should read our Bibles. And it's like, oh, yeah, I don't read my Bible enough. And just every week is kind of one more thing that we're failing at. And so for some people, I think we can go to church each week, and it's kind of encouraging, inspiring, and motivating. And then for some people, it's just kind of like getting hit upside the head each week, and it's no fun. And oftentimes I think those people are just like, I'm just going to quit going to church, you know, because who needs that? And I can appreciate that. And we try to be sensitive to that, but still it's hard. Just we think differently. And it's not just what's communicated from up front, but I think what really matters is what we think about God and how God thinks of us. And I think for some people, they really wrestle with going through life and just feeling like they're a constant disappointment to God. Feeling like they just blow it day after day after day. And really going to church is just a reminder of that. And so they go through life just never feeling like God's really pleased with them. And so this morning, I just want to talk kind of informally about that. This isn't going to be a point A, point B, and here's everything that we have type of sermon. It's going to be super, super simple because I think this is a really, really simple truth that I hope that we can get. And I don't mean for it to be, I can't think of the right word for it, but kind of just dumbed down, I guess. I know we have a ton of intelligent people. Most of you guys are smarter than I am, and I could show you my report card to prove it, you know. And so I'm not trying to speak down to anyone. I just want to speak real simply because these are really, they're simple truths that are super hard to get. They're just really hard to believe because God's love and His grace is so amazing. It's just hard for us to fathom. And so let's pray and we'll jump into it. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would bless during this time here. And I want to just challenge our own minds in the way that we think about you and the way that we think that you think about us. And so, God, I pray that you would just speak to us today and just get us chewing on these things and really evaluating where we stand with you. God, no one wants to go through life just feeling like we're failures, feeling like we're a disappointment to you. And I don't think we are. And I think you're proud of us, and I think you love us. And God, I pray that you would help us to align our thinking with your thinking. And so I just ask that you would move mightily here today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one more disclaimer, I guess, before I jump into it. So I don't know, about Tuesday or Wednesday of this last week, I gave this message last Sunday at our airport location. About Tuesday or Wednesday, my wife is kind of scratching her head. She's like, you know, I've been thinking about your message, and I don't think you're right on this. And I don't think it's like, and I just like, that's great. That's awesome, because she's thinking about it. She's chewing on it. And so that's what I want you to do this week, is I just want you to wrestle with these things. And if I say something that you're like, why would you say that? Well, don't discount it right away. We need to back it up with Scripture. We need to prove it. But I want you to go through that wrestle. And then when I speak again in 2 weeks, I'll try to maybe clean up some of the doctrine a little bit. But for now, I want to get this stuff stirred in your head. So I'll start off with a story. Probably 4 or 5 years ago, I got a job teaching. I went and got my alternative teaching certificate. And at the time I was pastoring here, my co-pastor was Tom Brown, who had helped me start this church. So our church had two pastors, but enough salary for about half a pastor. And so we both went and got outside jobs. And so that was mine. And so I went and I taught in the Northeast at Terrace Hills Middle School. I taught 8th grade science. And I had a lot of fun. It was a blast. I learned a lot. Had a really good time. And so right before school started, you know, you have a couple of days of in-service where you go in before the students are there and you get all ready for the year. And so I go into my room, and it was the alternative room, which is kind of where the troubled kids get sent. And they just switch it to the science room. And so it just wasn't decorated as a science room. And I think it had been a social studies room before that. And so I had to go in and decorate the room. And I don't know, that type of thing really irritates me, because it's like, you hired me to teach, and I'm the decorator now, but whatever. So I go in, there's this map that's up on the wall, and it's I don't know, about 2 feet wide. And it's really like 20 feet long, super long. It's like, what do you do with that, you know? And it looked like it was from, you know, 1960 or something, and it just set kind of a weird tone in the room. So I went in, I got some construction paper and covered it all up, and what do I do with this? And I got this idea of putting up some pictures that my kids had drawn, and so I put up some pictures that they had drawn, and some of their schoolwork, and a couple report cards, and some music sheets that they had worked on. I put it all in order from our youngest kid. We have 8 kids. And so I went from our youngest kid all the way up to our oldest kid. And it was really cool, because you could see academic progress kind of right in front of your eyes. And so I used it a lot as a teaching tool with my kids, because a lot of times the students would feel like, you know, they feel like they're complete failures because they're maybe in the bottom part of the class, but I could point to that little chart and say, okay, well, you know, you're supposed to be about here where my 8th grader is, and maybe you're not quite here, although maybe in some things, maybe in music or art or something, maybe you're further, but you're not back here. You know, you're not where my 6-year-old is. You're in here somewhere. And so I want you to see that you're making progress. So yeah, maybe you're behind some of the other people in the class, but you're progressing. So that's okay. You just need to keep progressing. And my heart was, I wanted to see that, oh, there's hope. Yeah, I'm changing and I'm growing. And so I thought it was a great tool. Eventually the administration made me take it down, which was kind of irritating. I'm not really over that yet, but that's another story. So I want to show you some pictures from that time. Just some of the artwork that I put up. And I just, this is kind of the meat of the sermon right here, is we're going to look at coloring pictures, okay? And so this is a picture that Jay-Z drew, and it's kind of cool with art. You can tell a lot about a kid's development by what they can draw. And so she's about 1 year old here, because you can tell 1 year old is kind of the scribbling and amoeba phase, okay? So it's advanced scribbling or poor amoeba. It's kind of right in there. And this is Jaira. So you can look at the picture and say, well, he'd probably be about 3 years old here, because this is the phase where a person is a smiley face with two legs. And I was trying to figure out, what? Is that a baby carriage or a centipede? Or I'm not sure what that thing is there. But you can tell it's a little more advanced, right? I mean, it's not an amoeba. And this was Kasaya. And so I think she was probably six or so at this time. And it's a house and some flowers and a swing and a tree. And nice picture. And this is another one she drew. She didn't actually draw the whole thing. She just colored it in. But it's pretty nice. You know, she pretty much stayed within the lines and did a good job there. And I like this one because on the top right corner there it says "to Dad." And that makes it a little bit more special because it's something she colored in for me. This is another one that she did. And you can tell the flowers are kind of reasonable colors for flowers. And the mouse slash rat thing, whatever that is, it's an appropriate color for a mouse slash rat. And it's, you know, its ears are pink. And, you know, it's just the color scheme's well done. This is Malia. This is a little bit harder to see, a bunch of little pictures. She's probably, eight here? And so, you know, you can tell that a little more, I don't know, like this, looks like maybe one of the other kids drew that or something. That doesn't look like an eight-year-old drawing. But some of them, it's just a little bit different. You can tell there's a little bit more dimension to it. And so this kid's advancing. They're at a different spot. And this one I couldn't figure out. This looks like a no sea turtle sign or something. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But it's better. It's different. It's advancing. And then Silas, I think, was about 10 when he drew the gorilla. And so pretty good artwork. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. And this is really the only thing I want you to get today. And you don't have to answer it out loud. I just want you to think about it. When you look at these pictures, which kid do I love the most? You know, if you think about the kid coming up and saying, "Here, Daddy, I drew something for you." And each one of these kids doing this, which one do I love the most? Oops, it's kind of silly, right? You don't love your kids based upon how good they can draw. You don't love them based upon their performance. I mean, if I did, I could evaluate, well, Silas is the most advanced here. Or maybe Blazing Hope. Maybe I don't love them at all because they didn't draw me a picture. So, or you know, maybe I could look at Kasaya's is nice because she drew me the most. And it had the one that said, "To Dad." That's a little more special. Or, "Oh, Jai's is really cute because it's the smiley face with legs." Or, there could be different reasons that I would like one picture over another, but that doesn't mean I love that kid the most, right? That would be silly. But it's also kind of profound, I think, to get that. Because I think we do that with God sometimes, just the way that we live our lives. And you know, we live our life and we read our Bible and we do all our stuff, and then we're like, "Here you go, God. You love me now? We stick this on your fridge?" And that's a personality type. I don't know that we have a lot of people with that personality type that are in our church, but I think there are a lot of people that go the other way. "Here you go, God. Sorry, it's just another amoeba. That's all I can do." And I think there are a lot of people, and I think probably all of us to some extent, we struggle and we just go through life always feeling like we're not performing. It's not good enough. And God is consistently disappointed with us because we didn't color our picture well enough. And so what I want to think about this morning is just earning a spot on God's bridge. Can we live life well enough that He's proud of us, that he takes it and He's like, "Good job. Thank you. I'm going to go stick that on my fridge." Can we actually live life in a way that makes God proud? I think we can. But I don't think it's by our performance. I don't think we can color well enough to impress God. And so just real simple stuff here I want you to chew on. You can't color a picture so well that it earns a spot on God's fridge. You can't impress God with your coloring. And there's really not much that you can do that's so amazing that God is impressed and stands in awe of you. God is awesome. And this is the heartbreaking part. He's far more awesome than you. And that means he's just really going to be hard to impress by your actions. I mean, what can you do that he looks at and he's like, wow, man, I am so amazed at you. You know, when I get these pictures, they do make me proud of my kids. And I do, you know, I like this puppy. This is cute. You know, there's something about it that does something for me. But it's not because of the artwork. It's not that amazing. I'm not like a great artist, but I'm decent. When I was in 8th and 9th grade, both years I got a medal at school because I was the best artist. And that sounds, I don't know, maybe that sounds kind of proud or something, but actually I was really good at tracing. And I mean, it doesn't mean I wasn't a good artist, because tracing can be kind of hard too. I remember one time I was in art class and I was drawing a zebra, and the art teacher came up and she's like, Steve, you don't have to draw the zebra stripes exactly like they are in the picture you're looking at. Yeah, I know. And she walks off, and I'm thinking, well, that would make it a lot harder to trace if I had to come up with my own stripes, you know. So, well, I didn't always trace. I sometimes really worked hard. I just thought today I should call up the guy that was really the best artist and send him my medal. But I was decent. So I look at this picture and I'm not impressed. I'm not like, wow, that's the most, because I could draw this. I could even draw the puppy. And I could color it in better than this. And even Silas's grill, and right now he could draw stuff better than I could for sure. But the grill is like, that's really good, but I mean, honestly, if I spent a couple hours working on it, I could probably draw a better grill even right now. And if I traced, for sure I could beat him. But even without tracing, I think I could beat it. And so I'm not impressed with it. I'm not proud of them because they're so incredible. There's something else that's going on. God's not proud of us because we're incredible. And then just God has seen so much stuff. It's like, what can we do that would impress him? When it comes to art, I've seen some amazing things. If you guys raise your hand if you know what this is. A few of you have seen this. There's a video of this on YouTube, and this is just a snapshot off of the video. And you just look at it, it's like, oh, it's a glass sitting on a piece of paper. And then the hand comes into the video and turns the piece of paper, and your mind explodes. It's like, no, actually, it is a glass drawn onto a piece of paper with the top of it cut off so that your mind's kind of tricked. And that's just, it's a pencil drawing. And that's hard to believe. It's just like, man, that is amazing. And they do that with different things, and it's just incredible what people can do. And this isn't the best drawing I've ever seen. This is a picture of the artist's brother that she drew when she was 5 years old. And of course, she's a lot better than that now. But this is pretty good too, though. You know, you might have seen these before. This is a snapshot of a video as well. And this guy goes and he has this thing of canvas, and he goes and he throws paint on it, and then he comes back, grabs some more paint, and he throws paint on it, and then he smears it all around and throws some more stuff on. You're like, what are you doing? I paid to see this. And then he gets near the end and he flips it upside down. You're like, oh, that's Jesus. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. And this one, I love this picture. And just the colors, and it's drawn by a blind guy. And this picture of an elephant's pretty cool, since it's drawn by an elephant. And so it's like, when you've seen all this stuff, you just can't, you can't get this and be like, wow, that's amazing. And so same thing with God. We can't color a picture that's amazing for God. You can't read your Bible enough that he's like, wow, you're such a great Bible reader. I am so, you can't go on enough mission trips. You can't sacrifice enough. You just can't impress God with your actions. You can't impress him with your awesomeness. God likes you no matter how well you color or how often you read your Bible or how discouraged you get and how many things you do for him. He's not pleased with you based upon your performance. I might write that down if you want. Okay, this is one of those mind-blowing statements coming up. And you can wrestle it out. Is it doctrinally correct? He's not displeased with you based upon your performance. Is that true? He's not pleased with me based on my performance. But do I go through life feeling like he's always displeased with me because I'm not performing? Let's think about that some more. I think God likes it when you draw him pictures, even though he could draw much nicer ones himself. In other words, God likes it when you do stuff for him. I think he's pleased with that. You know, I'm pleased with this, even though I can draw a nicer picture, even though other people could draw better pictures. It's not the greatest work of art that I've ever seen, but I'm still pleased with my kid. And I think he still takes our pictures and sticks them on the fridge. I think the actions that we do as we follow him, as we try to please him, I think he does get pleased with us in a sense. It's like, I'm proud of you. I'm going to stick you up in the fridge. I'll give you a quick example. We'll look at some better examples later on. But you think of Job. Remember at the beginning of the book of Job, when God's talking with Satan about Job, and he's like, Satan, have you ever seen anyone like Job? I mean, he's incredible. He's such a great guy. Can you believe him? What's he doing? I mean, isn't that kind of the equivalent to saying, have you seen what Job did? Job is amazing. I'm proud of him. I'm going to hang his picture. I'm going to brag about Job to you, Satan. Now, Job was a very righteous man, so maybe he's not the best example. We'll look at some others later. God likes that you're thinking of him and are responding to him, just like I like that Jay-Z drew me this amoeba picture. You know, I just that she did it for me. It's always a little embarrassing. We're like, do you like it? Do you know what it is? It's me? No, it's a dragon. It's like, oh, that's what I meant to say. When you try to earn God's approval by coloring lots of pictures or by making the best picture ever, he finds that a bit offensive and hurtful. I don't mean to put words into his mouth, but that's the way I am, or would be as a dad anyway. If my kid was like, you know, and I colored this picture, and hey, Daddy, look what I drew for you. I'm like, well, thanks. Well, do you like it? Yeah, thanks. No, but like, do you really like it? I'm like, yeah, that's great. No, but like, do you love me now? That'd be hurtful. I'd be like, what do you mean? Do I love you now? Of course I love you. I've always loved you. And I think we can do that with our actions, with God, kind of like, oh, God, look what I did now. Look at how amazing I am. Look, wait, do you love me now? Do you love me now? It's like, not because of your performance. I've always loved you. I think that's hurtful to God. But you can wrestle that out some. He just wants you to know that you're already loved and to be peaceful in that. And that's where I think a lot of people live their Christian life, and they're not in this peaceful place with God, and they always feel like God's angry. I think God would like us to just enjoy his love and enjoy him and enjoy our relationship with him and be able to walk through life knowing that he loves us and he's pleased with us. That should be the normal state of our walk with Jesus. Not that we're always trying to, oh, maybe I'll do this, and well, then he'll like me. When you feel worthless and unlovable, I think he finds that hurtful as well. You know, when we take the little picture and here you go, God. Sorry, I'm such a loser, just another amoeba. I don't know how you could ever love me, such a loser. I'm with my kids, I'd be like, you're mine. Don't call yourself a loser. Don't think you're a failure. You're special. Because you're mine. You're a Nelson. That's a good thing. You can't be a loser. He wants you to know you're cherished and precious to him. And it's his opinion of you, not your performance or not even your impression of yourself, that sets your true value. The true value of anything is whatever someone pay for it. You know, there are paintings that sell for millions of dollars that you look at me like, it's a piece of garbage. And then you ever seen those things where like there'll be a famous artist and they'll go set up on the street and try to sell one of their paintings and everybody just walks by like, I'm going to buy that for $5. It's whatever someone will pay for it, that's what it's worth. He paid for you with the life of his son, Jesus. And we go through life thinking like, oh, I'm such a big loser. I'm a failure. I'm not worth anything. He's like, what are you talking about? You're precious to me. You're worth something. Not because you're so amazing in and of yourself, but because of who you are. You're my child. He must really love you, and you must truly be valuable to him. If you want to impress God, do it with your faith. So I personally think God can be pleased with us, and I think God can be displeased with us. But it's not based upon our performance either way. It's based upon our faith. I think he's pleased with our faith. And whatever spot you're in right now, I think there's someone out there who is more righteous than you. Someone who lives life a little bit better, maybe a lot better. And they read the Bible more, and they pray more, and they give more, and they're more faithful, and they go to church more, and they share the gospel more, and they do all these things. There's someone out there more righteous than you. God might be pleased with you more. Because in faith, you're following him. In faith, you're growing and you're changing and you're basically, you're trying to please him. He's not pleased with, oh, and you did great at pleasing me. You drew the perfect picture. You live life just perfectly. No, he's pleased that you're trying to please him. And on the other side, I think there could be people out there who are way more sinful than you. They don't have their act together nearly as much as you do. And God might be more pleased with them. You can weigh this out in your own head, but I want you to chew on this. We'll talk about it more in a couple weeks. But suppose there's someone out there who's just their whole life is a complete mess, and they've totally been just drenched in sin and immorality and drugs and alcohol and sleeping around and just everything's a mess. And then let's say 4 weeks ago they became a Christian. And they're trying to shape up how they keep falling back into old ways and they keep falling into everything they used to do. But they're in faith, they're trying to change and they're trying to follow God and they're making progress in their life, but they're still failing. I think it could be very true that God could be like, man, I am so proud of you. Yeah, you're a mess. But in faith, man, you're following me, and it's going to be a long road. Might be years before they ever catch up to where you're at. They may never be able to catch up to where you're at. But that doesn't mean that God's displeased with them on that journey. God's pleased us in faith. We're following him. Not that we're living so perfectly that we impress him somehow. We'll take his hand and follow him and grow up to be like him. That's the journey that you're on. Take his hand. It's like, okay, I'll trust you. I'll follow you with my life. He's pleased when we do that. It's what he wants. As you grow, he'll be patient with you. He understands that you have a long way to go. He understands that you're broken, just like with my kids when they draw an amoeba. I'm like, oh, it's good, you'll grow. But you'll never impress me with your performance. I'm not impressed by that. I'm impressed that you love me and that you're responding to me. He loves you just like you are right now. And let's just go over a few scriptures. I'm not going to go real in-depth on this, but just a few things to think about. First of all, we know for sure God sees us as his children. There's no doubt about that. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. I like that word. He's lavished it on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. It should be a mind-blowing thing when we think about God presenting himself as, this is how I relate to you. Like, there's no way you could relate to me in that way. He's like, yeah, you're my child. This is what you are. You're a child. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. John 1:12 talks about that. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you've put your faith in him, you are a child of God. And he responds to you as his child. Faith is what's pleasing to him. We see that in Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. You can perform, you can do everything. I mean, really, that's the Pharisees, right? Lots of performance. They were righteous. They're probably more righteous than certainly most of us, maybe than any of us. Is he pleased with them? No, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is pleased with the faith that you're expressing on your journey of following him. God understands that you have unique circumstances in your life. You have your own struggles. You have your own weaknesses. You have your own tendencies. He understands that part of the journey. I like this verse in John 20 where Jesus is talking to Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas had just asked to touch his nail holes and stuff and his side. And he says, because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And he's saying, you know, in your circumstance, you have faith because you saw me. But other people, man, blessed are they because they're going to believe without even seeing. They're in a different situation. I get the sense that that's even more pleasing. Each journey is unique. And God's pleased with us as we express faith and believing in him, believing in his view of us, believing in his sacrifice for us, believing that he completely dealt with our sins, that he washed us whiter than snow. God can be proud of pretty ordinary faith. You know, I shared the example of Job, and he's kind of an extreme example because he seems like such a righteous, godly guy, and I'm sure he was. Hebrews 11 is kind of an interesting chapter. It's sometimes known as the Hall of Faith, and it goes through some Old Testament characters and just talks about them. And basically, God is honoring these people and saying, we should have faith like these people. These people had amazing faith. And just in it, it's like he seems so proud of them. Like, these guys are great. These are the awesome men of God. Which is cool. And then you go through the list, and you're like, that guy's a loser. That guy's a loser too. You know, and there are people, you know, like David who committed adultery, or Jephthah who sacrificed his own daughter. I mean, how did he make it into the Hall of Faith? Gideon, who, remember in his story, it's like God had to assure him and assure him and assure him again. It's like, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Go fight this battle. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And he had all these assurances, and I'm kind of like, seems like it shouldn't be that hard to follow God when he does that many things to show you that he wants you to do this. And then he does what he's told to do. And then afterwards, he builds an idol and causes people to fall away from God because they're all following this idol that Gideon built. He's in the Hall of Faith. Which to me is like, he got his picture, his life picture hung up on the fridge. It seems like God's proud of Gideon. I'm like, Gideon, you're a big loser. God's like, no, man, do you see the faith he expressed? Samson's my favorite one, I think, on that list. Because Samson, just his whole story, it's like, what a bonehead. You know, it's just like, what is this guy thinking? He gets tricked into having his hair cut off, and multiple times. You know, you think after the first time, you'd be like, hey, I think my I think my girlfriend's trying to kill me. You know? And he keeps playing along with this. It's like, you're clueless. And then basically at the end of the story, he commits suicide. And it's like, I don't know, just if my child was Samson, I would have a little bit of a hard time bragging on him. I just would, just to be honest. That would be challenging. And yet it seems like God's bragging on him. Not because he's such a great guy or he's so perfect or he didn't sin at all, but because of his faith. And that's mind-boggling to me. It's like God sees things differently than I do. God sees me differently than I see myself. And this might be something that you've been wrestling with as I'm talking. Well, you're saying that we can do whatever we want and God doesn't care? No, I'm not saying that. I'll say that is absolutely not true. Hebrews 12:6, it says, the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. If you're a child of God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God still has standards for you and he loves you. But man, if you get out of line, he'll discipline you for sure. We can't do whatever we want. But that doesn't mean we should go through life just always feeling, oh, I never met. You never will measure up. You can't perform enough to measure up. It's not about measuring. It's grace. He loves you because he loves you. He doesn't love you because you perform so well. And if you're sitting here thinking, oh, I mean, you're saying that God's pleased with me? I mean, if you really knew what I was doing, if you really knew what I'm struggling with, there's no way you would say that, and I can't believe that you're saying it. Well, if that's where you're at, then whatever it is that you think God cannot be proud of you because of X, then fix X. Right? That was the beauty of repentance, the topic we went through, is repentance brings us back into restoration. God's plan is not for you to go through your whole life where he's always upset at you. I think a lot of people are living the Christian life, and God's probably already pleased with them, and we're just going through life like, oh, he's always angry with me. And if you're in that spot, we need to just accept, you know what? God's proud of me because I'm living in faith. But if you're in a spot where you're like, this does not sit with me. There's no way God's pleased with me. Well, then fix it. Whatever you think God can absolutely not be pleased with you, you just go before God. And you're like, man, God, I've blown it. Forgive me. I've been sinning against you, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to be back in a good spot with you. I was just thinking about the story of Job. And I just read it a couple of weeks ago. What a cool story. But as it builds up towards the end, it seems like he does a great job, and then he crosses the line a little bit and gets a little bit accusatory toward God. And then at the end, God lets him have it, right? It's like, Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you know. And then he goes on, just kind of putting Job in his place. Right? It seems like God's letting him have it. And then what happens? And then God says, well, your three friends, man, I'm upset with them because they have not spoken well of me as my servant Job has. And then he blesses Job all over the place. Yeah, God was upset. God put Job in his right place. But he doesn't just go through the rest of his life just like, oh, yeah, I kind of ticked off God and now he hates me forever. It's like Job sinned against God. God corrected him, and then moved on, and Job's back in a place of blessing again. That's what God wants for our lives. We need to be walking in that place of blessing, just like with my kids. I don't want my kids growing up in my home feeling like, oh, I could never please Dad. His standards are so high. Every time I do something, he corrects me, and there's a danger of that, right? Because I am always coaching him and correcting him and trying to help him and stuff. But I don't want him to feel like I could never measure up. I want him to feel like Dad's proud of me just the way I am. Even though I'm not perfect, even though I'm growing, even though I have sin, even though I fail at times, even though I can do stuff better, Dad still loves me and he's proud of me right exactly where I'm at right now. That's the way I want my kids to feel. I think that's how God wants us to feel. Unless we're just not living in faith. In which case, he's not pleased with that, and we need to get back into the spot where we're following him in faith. But again, it's not performance. It's not performance that earns us favor. It's not performance that loses us favor. It's, are we walking in faith or are we not walking in faith? That's what affects his pleasure. And so it's just stuff I want you to chew on, because it grieves me when my children think that way. It grieves me when Christians think that way of just, Dad can't be pleased with me. We need to be in a spot where we know Dad's pleased with us. Hope was telling us a story of one of her fellow college students just this last week. Was talking to Hope and told her a story about how this kid had gone through high school, and he could have done really well, but he didn't do super well. And so kind of when he graduated from high school, he got like an 85 average. And the dad never said, you know, thanks, son, good job, son, or gave him any positive feedback. And later on, at some point, the dad said, come here, son, I want to talk to you about something. And held up the report card and was like, is this the best you can do? You're going to go off to college, and this better not be the best that you can do. And I don't remember the exact wording, but that was the flavor of it. That's the type of kid that's going to kill himself. Because he's going to fight to earn Dad's approval. And I don't know that he'll ever be able to get it. And in the Christian life, you just can't be in that spot. You don't have to be perfect to earn God's approval. You just have to be walking in faith. So let's pray and let's worship some more. I love the worship songs because they all capture this. Man, God loves us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you love me. You love me apart from my performance. And think about in Ephesians where it talks about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. And how Paul prays that they would know this love that surpasses knowledge. And I feel that way about this topic. Sometimes it's like, I'm trying to get to know something that surpasses knowledge. It's like, I can't, it's too amazing, it's too mind-boggling that you love me and that you're proud of me. Your grace is so incredible. God, help us to get that. Be just like a kid. God, help us to fall in love with you and to receive your love. Let us walk in that spot and walk in faith, and not that we would ignore sin and sin's no big deal. It is a big deal. You've communicated that really clearly. But God, that we would be on a journey of following you, a journey of faith, and a journey of being right smack dab in the middle of your love and your acceptance and in relationship with you. So we thank you for this time here. We pray this in Jesus' name.